Pastor Ray Bentley reminds us of our standing as children of God in a world that's wandered off the right path.
We live in an unstable world. Until Jesus comes, normal means unstable. That's what's normal in a fallen world until the Lord comes. But you who are God's children, who have the Lord Jesus Christ, you have stability and a hope for the future. It is the love of God.
Spread the news. All of His people coming down before the King. Lift your voice. Jesus is coming. Join the song. Sing along. Let it ring.
Welcome to Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. When we read the newspapers and see the news on TV, we can wonder what kind of world this has become. Sin is protected under the banner of political correctness. Right is wrong, and wrong is right. Well, today, Pastor Ray shows us how to find hope and stability in the midst of the mess.
Let's open our Bibles to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. The title of the message is, The Truth Is, Love is the Answer. And you always have to combine truth with love. Always in the Bible. Paul wrote to the church of Ephesus, speak the truth in love. So with that little introduction, let's look at verse 13. Paul says, but we are bound to give thanks to God always for you. Now let's stop there for just a moment. Paul is he's saying to the church of the Thessalonians, I am bound, I'm obligated, I am moved. I can't go on to say anything else until I say thank you. My brothers and sisters who are there in Thessaloniki, Greece, this fellowship that has been started by the Apostle Paul. He thanks God for them. Brethren, so he says, we're bound to give thanks to God always for you. Brethren, beloved by the Lord. We are beloved by the Lord. You are beloved by the Lord. The very first truth that any child of God must invite personally into their hearts is the truth that God loves me. Everything that God has done for the world, everything that God has done for you and me personally is motivated by His tremendous, immense, deep, passionate love. And in one sense, that's the only lesson there is to learn in life, is knowing the love of God and receiving the love of God and letting it capture you, and it changes you. And there's also that distance from knowing it in my head and then really allowing it to grow down into my heart. It changes you. And when you learn how to receive, you can't love others until first you have received God's love, because God's the source of love. God is love. So the very first thing that as believers we need to learn is that we are beloved of the Lord. So Paul is encouraging the Thessalonians, as well as, now let me encourage you, you are greatly beloved of the Lord. Now Romans chapter 5 verse 8 sums it up in a very beautiful way. It's in your notes. But God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. I mean, it'd be one thing if we repented and that we were crying and that we were sorrowful and that we were saying, Lord, forgive us. And then God said, oh, look, they're so touched and they're moved and they feel sorry for all the bad things they've done. I'm going to send my son to die for them. But that's not how it happened at all. While we were yet sinners, arrogant, prideful, selfish, hard as stone, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He died for us. He gave Himself for us. He loved us. And Paul goes on in Romans to say, if He loved us that much then, when we were the way we were, how much more does He love us now? Or at least, how much more can we receive of that love? God demonstrated his love, proved his love at the cross. Never think of the cross of Jesus Christ without ascribing to it the deep, deep love of God. Now, Paul goes on. He says, we're bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth. From the beginning, the Father has chosen you. This is what makes salvation personal. Now, the truth is, we all have decided to accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, all that are saved here this morning. And we all have our own unique stories and testimonies about when we did that. But it's after you have accepted the Lord, God lets you in on a little secret. It's a secret only for believers. And the secret is, God chose you. Now, here's the question. When did God choose you? As Paul mentions here, and it's mentioned many times throughout the scriptures, in the beginning, God chose you. And when, you know, there's something about this. I don't want to get all into the all about predestination. It's just, I want you to look this at this on a very, very personal level. When someone loves you and chooses you, there's nothing more endearing. There's nothing more affectionate. There's nothing more infinitely precious than someone coming up to you and saying, I love you. I'm going to spoil you and bless you for the rest of eternity. That's essentially what God did. And God did it from the beginning. Now, once you begin to realize that you are chosen and you feel that chosenness and the specialness that comes with being chosen, it is then an encouragement. And that's why all the exhortations in the scripture, God is, it's not just saying, oh, cool, God loves me and God chose me and that's all there is. But that grows within you to the point where you now, like your Heavenly Father, begin choosing him back. You choose to yield your bodies to him. You choose to follow him. You choose to walk in the Spirit. You intentionally, daily, choose to respond in love to the one who first chose you. Paul goes on to say he called you to this through the gospel. And in other words, there was a time where you heard the gospel and you responded to it. Now look in verse 14. He says, to which he called you by our gospel for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. The whole reason that God chose you, what did he choose you for? To be saved? Well, yes, but saved to something. Not only saved from something, but saved to positively something. And guess what God chose to save you toward? Glory. Glory. Now, in a sense, the glory is already in you by the Holy Spirit, but it's invisible, it's hidden. You can't see it. But the New Testament says that when you invited the Jesus and the Holy Spirit comes inside of you, that glory is like a treasure hidden in an earthen vessel, like a clay pot. So it's already there, but it's hidden. It will be manifest. It will become visible when Jesus comes in his glory. Then the sons and the daughters of the living God will also be manifest and be glorified with him. So pretty amazing that these are our promises. This is our hope. So in eternity past, God chose us to be saved. Then in time, he called us to be saved through the gospel. We responded to it, and in the future, we'll share the glory of Christ for all eternity. In one sentence, Paul goes from the beginning all the way to eternal glory and being glorified. Now, verses 15 through 17. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions, which means really the teachings. It's not religious rituals. That word there really means the teachings which you were taught, whether by word or by epistle, which means letters, such as this letter. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold on. His encouragement is, there is therefore not only something to believe, but something to do. And what we are to do is stand in the Word of God and stand in the promises of God, immersed in it, until it entangles itself in our minds and within our hearts, and we become one with the Lord through His Word. In other words, Paul's attitude is, God's promises are encouragements to take action, to do something. Jesus often, there's all kinds of, if you read the parables, Jesus said, the one who really believes is not the one who says he agrees with a particular truth or doctrine or gives lip service to it, but the one who does. In other words, what you hear is so real to you and so moving to you that you are compelled to do something about what you believe. That's real faith. That is real Christianity, is that it just takes over your mind and your heart and your soul to such an extent you cannot help but do what is pleasing to the Lord and serve the Lord and love people and be used by Him. And so now Paul is, again, that same idea. Here's all the promises. Yes, believe that you're chosen and blessed and beloved, but now do something. Hold on, hold fast, stand firm. The way that Paul describes this is the idea of standing in the face of a hurricane gale force winds. Can you imagine, and we've seen evidence of that here in our own country, the devastation that can come from these tremendous torrents of wind? How necessary and only that which is on firm, solid foundation can withstand those winds. Paul is saying that as God's children, in this brief life on the earth that is a vapor, it's here today, it's gone tomorrow, like a blade of grass, it withers in the sun. Our lives are not long here, but while we are here, until we get to heaven, there will always be fierce winds of opposition, winds of adversity, winds of trials, winds of challenges, winds of the spiritual warfare from the enemy, winds of the reversal of fortune economically, all kinds of winds. And if you lose your grip on the promises of God and the Word of God and you try to stand on worldly things or success or money or building your own kingdom here, you're going to get blown away. Totally blown away. And only those who really, in the test of time, place their feet squarely, solidly on God's word, God's truth, God's promises, and hold on to it are going to be able to survive. Because that hurricane storm, while from heaven's perspective, your life is brief down here, when you're down here, it can seem like a long time. And the hurricane storm may last a long time, so stand firm. Now, verses 16 and 17, this is how he sums everything up. He says, now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself. I love that. I like how Paul takes ownership. Our Lord Jesus Christ. Mine. When you love someone, you own them, in a sense. That ownership is, this is my wife, these are my children, mine. When you say that, it's something very, very personal. And I love how Paul says, our Lord Jesus Christ. Beautiful and amazing and a wonderful thing to be able to say the Lord is ours. And our God and Father. He doesn't just say God. A lot of times I hear people and they're praying and they, dear God, oh God. God, now God is a title, and He is God. There is only one God. The Bible talks about there is no other God besides the Lord. But as Paul does here, to define who the one true God is and to know Him is to call Him Father. As Jesus said, to pray, Abba, Father, Daddy. That's what Abba is. It means Daddy. I mean, that there's nothing more personal, and talk about owning little children. Daddy, they have total ownership of their heaven, of their Father. And here we have our God and Father. Oh, the heart of the Father. I tell you, the closer you get to the heart of Jesus, the closer you know the heart of the Father, and the closer you get to the heart of the Father, the more your heart will melt. He's just amazing. Who has loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope. I mean, he's talking about all the things, you know, that he just talked about. Glorified, chosen, beloved, by grace, which means it's God's gift. Comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. So what we believe is also what we do. It's all coupled together. So he's just overwhelmed. Paul is in these last two verses trying to talk about, I want you guys to be stable because we live in an unstable world. Until Jesus comes, normal means unstable. That's what's normal in a broken planet with broken human beings and a fallen world. Unstable, continuously, until the Lord comes. But you who are God's children, who have the Lord Jesus Christ and our God and Father, you have stability. You have not only a promise and a hope for the future, but there is something even here, right now. You don't have to wait till heaven to begin entering into the kingdom of heaven. There is something that gives you peace that passes understanding now. There is something that gives you joy unspeakable and full of glory now. There is something that holds you like a rock standing on a place that is solid in foundation now. What then is the secret of Christian stability? And it's this tiny little phrase in the midst of all these things Paul says in verses 16 and 17. Here's what he says. It is the love of God. Paul says, who has loved us? The love of God is what holds us. The love of God is really what it's all about. And I want to say this, and I want to plant this seed in your mind. We are here on earth to learn how to love. That's why you were born. That's why you exist. That's why you were created. That's why you were called. That's why God favors you. And that's why you're here now. We are here on earth to learn how to love. Psalm 136, verse 1, a beautiful psalm. And this is out of the New Revised Standard Version. Let's read that one verse out loud together. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. When you hear all these good things, you know, no wonder we should be giving thanks. Thank you, God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Daddy. Thank you, O Spirit of the living God, for all of these blessings. For the Lord is good. But why is he good? And here is the reason. For he is good for, in other words, because his steadfast love endures forever. To believe in Jesus is to believe that he is in us and that he not only lives in us, but that he loves in us. If you have Jesus inside of you, you have someone in you whose whole being is bursting to love through you, to love in you, and to teach you about love. Now, love is, you know, so beautiful. It's so awesome. It is so good. It's so pure. And yet, too often, even sometimes as Christians, we don't allow ourselves to really totally yield to love, especially in a world full of so much pain and darkness. We think, okay, maybe I'll, you know, in this life, it's so hard, I'll get a small taste of love, a little love here, maybe I can get a little love there. Yes, that's fine. We'll accept little bits and pieces of love or a taste of love. But to honestly make love the central purpose of our lives, to build everything else in my life around being loved by God and allowing God to love through me? Isn't that a little idealistic? Is such a thing even possible? Well, let's go to what Jesus himself said the night before he left earth. John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. Let's read this scripture out loud. A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. We are here on earth to learn how to love, and also the great sign that we love people is that they become infinitely precious to us. The Bible tells us that when we are dealing with the love, especially the love of God, we are dealing with an inexhaustible supply. It never can run out. Now, hate, on the other hand, is exhausting. Hate wears itself out. But love renews. It's renewing, replenishing, refreshing, revitalizing. The sign that we are loving people is that they become infinitely precious to us. The sound of their voice, the twinkle in their eye when they smile, their unique laugh. Everybody has a unique laugh that brings out that child within them, becomes precious to you. The smallest detail of them, their little mannerisms that are unique only to them, become extremely precious to us. And we find our hearts softening. That's what it means to fall in love. The opposite is to stiffen up and harden up and become like a stone. Well, the opposite is to soften more and more, to open your heart, and to look at people who are reflecting the image of God, made in the image of God, and loving them visibly as you see them. And in that you do that, you will experience that what you visibly see in them and falling in love with them and the preciousness of them, that you can begin to see something invisible, almost as if the hint of the glory to come even now is with them. That's exactly how Paul felt about the people in Thessaloniki and every church that he went. The people were infinitely precious to him. And not only those who were saved, but even another kind of love that poured out for the world and for the lost. We are here on earth to learn how to love. Amen.
Pastor Ray Bentley with important insights today on love and how it permeates the Christian message and lifestyle. Glad you joined us today here on Maranatha Radio. And this presentation by Pastor Ray is available on CD. Contact us and mention the title, The Truth Is, Love is the Answer. It's available for just $7. Again, it's called The Truth Is, Love is the Answer. And you can now get Pastor Ray's entire series in 2 Thessalonians on a single CD. MP3s of every one of Pastor Ray's messages from this series on one compact disc. Order online at maranatharadio.com. Or address a letter to Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. And we're excited to make available Pastor Ray's latest book, The Holy Land Key. Pastor Ray, how does this resource help us make sense of our world? You know, our culture seems to be spinning out of control. We see examples all around us in the news every day. How will your book help us seek God in the midst of the foggy chaos?
Oh, that's a great question. And one of the things that I learned about prophecy is that it's not only predicting the future. God knows everything. God tells us what's coming. We have signs that we can be looking for, and I think we see many of those signs happening in the world right now. But the other layer is that God reveals patterns. There are things that have already happened in history, as it was in the days of Noah. So shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. There are patterns that are happening right now on the earth that really, for a believer, point us to look up, for Jesus is coming soon.
All right. Well, we hope you'll dig into these important insights yourself by way of Pastor Ray's book, The Holy Land Key. With all that's going on in the world, you can't afford to be unaware of what God has told us about the times in which we live. We'll be glad to send you the Holy Land Key. It's available to Maranatha Radio listeners for just $10. So write us at Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. Or order it online at maranatharadio.com. Next time, join Pastor Ray for more from our studies in 2 Thessalonians. More from God's Word next time on Maranatha Radio. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley is an outreach of Maranatha Chapel, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127.